All right, here we go. Parshas Vatzchanan, it says, Vatzchanan al Hashem ba'yitzi yilemor, and I davened to Hashem at that time, saying, Hashem Elokim, atoach ilosu laharus zavtachos, godlach vayis yorcha ha-chazaka, yorcha ha-chazaka, Hashem yel ba'shmayim v'horeth, Hashem yasecha ma'asecha u'gvurosecha. You started to show your Eved all the great things. So it's funny that Parshas Vatzchanan every year falls out after Tisha B'Av. It always falls out after Tisha B'Av. Devarim is always the week before, but Chanan is the week afterward, and it does have a little bit about what's going on there. So the question is, what in the world is the message? What are we trying to learn from Parshas Vatzchanan? What is the lesson that's trying to teach us that we're saying, here's what you need to know after the Korban. After the Korban Bayis, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, this is what you need. So what is that message?
Well, he promises that we're going to be returned to God eventually.
So, you're right, but what's the lesson of the Parsha? Meaning, where are we going with this Parsha more than anything else? So, that's number one. Number one, what's the message? Number two, Vaschanan stands for the 515 tefilos that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. Vaschanan is the gematria of 515. That he davened to get into Eretz Yisrael. Now we know that didn't work. It didn't work. 515 davenings, none of them worked. He didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So at the end of the day, what was the point of him davening? Why did he daven? It didn't work anyway. So what was the point of him doing it in the first place? That's number two. Number three. All the Rishonim point out that tefillah is a gematria of 515. Tefillah without the yud. Which means, Vaschanan al Hashem ba'yisehi meant that he davened. He had tefillah. So what's the big deal? I mean, is it better? Is a tefillah better if you can do the amount of tefillah that it takes to make it a tefillah? Like, is that going to make it any better? I mean, it can't be any better, so well, what's the difference? Who cares that it's known as, it's the gematria of tefillah? Number four, it says, Bo'isahi, Bo'atzchanan al-Hashem, Bo'isahi leimor, at that time, I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was that time? What special time was it that if he davened then, it was going to be a good davening? But if it wasn't then it wasn't going to be a good davening. And what does it mean exactly? Yeah.
After
some of these are actually answered by Rashi. Yeah, 100%. I'm just adding them all together. Number five is leimor. Whenever it says the word leimor, it means you should say this to Bnei Yisrael. I want you to tell this over to Bnei Yisrael. What was he telling over to Bnei Yisrael? What are you giving to Bnei Yisrael that they're getting from this tefillah? Your tefillahs weren't listened to. So what in the world is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to do? So here's the deal. How do Jews deal with the thousands of years of gullus that we've had? How do we deal with it? Because even in the most hopeless situations, in the situations where we mamish thought there was absolutely nothing we can do, the times of the Inquisition, when there were pogroms every day, when there was the Crusades, during the Holocaust, no matter what, Jews always had that power to daven. They had the ability to sit and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter how much Hester Putin there was, no matter how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed himself off from us and didn't want to look at us, didn't want to have anything to do with us, it makes no difference. We always had that koach to be able to go up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to daven. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. He gave us that koach to daven, the koach HaTfilah, to make you feel better by emptying out your heart, knowing that someone is listening to you. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said the following, he said the word leimor to Bnei Yisrael. Look at my 515 tefillos. Even if you're not answered directly, even if it doesn't look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to you, don't worry, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't worry, because I guarantee you your tefillos are working for something. So no matter where you are, wherever you are, within the rest of your goals, you'll always be able to use your tefillos. That's the leimor. Leimor to Bnei Yisrael, you can always use it, and that's why there were 515 tefillos, the gematria of tefillah. So that you would give to Bnei Yisrael the koach of tefillah, so that they would be able to daven. They would be able to go ahead and use these tefillos for themselves. So whatever you need, you'll be able to use it for, and everything's all good. Okay. That's good for most of this. And that's obviously the message behind Tisha B'Av. That after Tisha B'Av ends, how do we understand a day like Tisha B'Av where the Bati Mikdashos were destroyed, where all these bad things happened to us? Obviously the lesson is, you just got to daven. You have to look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pray and ask Him, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And if you do that, something will be answered. It may be within your own head. It may be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, but something will be answered. But you just have to doubt it. That's the lesson that's being learned from this beginning of this parsha. However, we didn't explain the Bayisahi. So there's a Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua is in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Here's what the Pnei Yoshua says. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. How do you know you couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael? There was a Shvuah. God swore you cannot go to Eretz Yisrael because of the Meraglim. There's no way that you can go into Eretz Yisrael. The Dibur was given to him For 39, Deborah was taken away from him for 39 years due to the miraculum. For 39 years, God did not speak to Moshe. There was no speech between the two of them. Since the miraculum, up until a certain point, for 39 years, God did not speak to Moshe of it because Bnei Yisrael was in Cherem. They were in excommunication. So until they were taken out of Cherem, Moshe of it never had a direct talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was that? What were they? Where are they from? Those are the 39 years of the curse of the Miraculum. The 39 years of the Midbar. Meaning, the only reason why was because they were cursed from the Miraculum. So why not the 40th year? So everybody knows what happened at the very, very end. After Sichon and Og were defeated, or after Sichon and Og had gone up to Moshe Rabbeinu and they were ready to be there, Moshe Rabbeinu had a suffix. Is this land going to be part of Eretz Yisrael? Or is it not going to be part of Eretz Yisrael? And he wasn't so sure what to do. The Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, the very first Dibur that Moshe Rabbeinu got after the second year in the Midbar, for 39 years he hasn't heard a thing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first thing he hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the following. He hears him saying about Sichon and Og, it was at the end of Parsha's Devarim that it says it. It says the word Hachel Rosh. Lareshet Setzartso. Get up and go and inherit his land. Get up and go to the land of Sichon and Og and take over the land and take everything. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is thinking like this. It's possible that the land of Sichon and Og is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Which means that even though God promised me I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking back that promise. Now he's saying, I might be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's a possibility for me able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe, just maybe, said Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe I'll be able to do whatever I possibly can. I have a chance. So he started to daven. When did he start, and when did this Dibur come to him? It's a Gemara, Bava Basra, Kuf Chaf Aleph Amad Aleph. On Tisha B'Av, of the 39th year, the 40th year, of when Bnei Yisrael was in the Midbar, what happened every year was that those people that turned 60, from the people that were 20 to 60, they would go and they would dig a massive grave. And everyone who was 60 years old that year would go into the grave and they would die on Tisha B'Av. They all died in Tisha B'Av. The next day, they would put the dirt over, and that's the way that all the people between the ages of 20 to 60 died while they were in the Midbar. Every single person did. In the 40th year, on Tisha B'Av, those people who turned 60 all went down. There were 20 at the time of the Miraglim. They all went down into the mass grave, and then in Yodav, they got up. Or it's the Tisha B'Av in the morning. Yudav, they went down again. Yudav in the morning, they got up. Yudav, they went down again. They kept thinking, maybe we made a mistake. But when they saw the full moon on Tesvav B'Av, on Tu B'Av, they realized we didn't make a mistake. God's not going to kill us. It must be that God forgave us for the Miraglim. On that day, they made a party, and that's what's known as Tu B'Av. The famous Chag of Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av happened on that day for the very first time. Other things happened on that day later on, but Tu B'Av became a huge Chag. And on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu again. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time in 39 years, and he told him, you're going to get the land of Sihon, you're going to get the land of Og. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on a second. Though those guys that were 20 when the Miraglim happened, they're now 60, they're going to get to go to Eretz Yisrael. If they're going to get to go to Eretz Yisrael, maybe I'll get to go to Eretz Yisrael. If they're going to be able to live, maybe I'm going to be able to live as well. So all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu realized it's time for me to daven to get myself into Eretz Yisrael. So he daven 515 tefillos. Listen to this, Pnei Yehoshua. Brilliant. If you count from Tesvav Av until Zion Adar, what happened on Zion Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu died. There are 16 days of Av, 29 days of Elul, 30 days of Tishrei, 29 days of Cheshvan, 30 days of Kislev, 29 days of Teves, 30 days of Shvat, and 7 days of Adar. Okay? If anybody was really quick there, you'd know that that's a total of 200 days. 200 days. Now, if you have 200 days, and you daven Shemone Esrei 3 times a day, right, not including Musaf, because there's no Bakashos in Musaf, and you want to ask for something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have Shema Koleinu. So in Shema Koleinu, Moshe Rabbeinu could daven and ask to bring himself into Eretz Yisrael 600 times. 200 times 3 is 600. The problem is, you can't ask for a Bakashos on Shabbos. Okay, so it's 200 days. 200 has 28 Shabbosos. So you have to subtract 28 Shabbosos, well, you don't ask for Bakashos on Shabbos, so you can't ask for that on Shabbos. So 200 days minus 28 is what? 172. 172 times 3, because 3 tefillos a day is 516. Now, if I was a gematria guy, I'd be like, oh, we can be off by one, and that's it. But I'll tell you pshat. Says the Bnei Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu never got his nevuah at night. He got his nevuah during the day. Which means, Mariv of Tu B'Av didn't count. So he started Shacharis of Tu B'Av and davened every single day for the next 171 days, plus that day itself, 171 days, three tefillos per day, not including Shabbosos, only including two of Tu B'Av itself, and that equals up to 515. So what were the 515 tefillos? He started Bo'esayi. He started on Tu B'Av, and he ended on Zayin Adar. He kept davening until the day of his death. Each time he davened Shemona Esrei, each time he davened, he sat there and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Please, God, let me go into Eretz Yisrael. Let everything happen. Let me be able to be in Eretz Yisrael. And each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, 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 515 times until the last time HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rav Lach, it's too much for you. You're done. You're not going to be able to daven anymore because Moshe Rabbeinu died at Mincha time. That's why we say Tzikas Chot Tzedek during the time of Mincha and Shabbos. He davened at Mincha, and therefore, after that Mincha, it was done. It was all over. There was no other tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu could do. So because of that, it was there. Now, the only question you can ask is, what about Yom Tov? What about Yom Tov? I don't know. That I can't answer you. It could be that the only Yom Tov, they didn't... I don't know what they did with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I don't know what they did with Sukkot in the Midbar. I don't know what Sukkot was in the Midbar. Maybe it wasn't a real Yom Tov. Maybe you could still ask for Bakashos then. Maybe it fell out on Shabbos. Then, you know, the Yom Tov fell out on Shabbos. I have no idea. I can't answer that question. But regardless, such a brilliant, brilliant answer by the Pnei Yoshua. That was the 515 tefillos that he had. And that shows you the koach of tefillah that you have on that day. Tu B'Av is coming up. I believe it's on Tuesday. Tu B'Av. It's a koach. There's a koach of tefillah day there. There's a time that we're supposed to sit there and say, Baskanan al Hashem Bo Isai. Says Moshe, but you want to daven? Daven at that time. When's that time? After Tisha B'Av. When is that time? Tu B'Av. On that day of Tu B'Av, it's a tremendous, tremendous. And maybe, because on Tu B'Av, something else happened. Kalubo Misei Midbor is one of the things. Misei Midbor died because of what? Because they spoke Lashon Hara and Eretz Yisrael. So the Tikkun was on the day that they stopped dying. So for some reason, Tu B'Av is a tikkun for Lashon Hara. So on that day, we have the koach, the koach to be able to speak, because all of our Lashon Hara was knocked down, all of our problems were knocked down. Maybe that's the pshat behind why we're able to do it, or maybe it was a plan to be able to daven that much. Joseph, you were going to ask something before. Oh, yeah, okay, that is taken care of. Okay, that's a huge Pnei Yoshua, huge Pnei Yoshua. But here we go. We got another pasuk in this week's parsha. Dalet Tesvav. Certain people love this pasuk, certain people hate this pasuk. Depends on how you feel. Says the pasuk, V'nishmartem ma'od l'nafshoseichem. You should watch out for yourselves very much so. You should watch out for your souls. Watch out for your souls. Chazal darshan in this pasuk, brachos l'mabez l'mabez, that you have to take care of your body. You have to exercise. You have to work out. You have to do certain things, not to make yourself look, you know, like an atlas, although, okay, that's, I guess, also nice for, I guess, but for other reasons. For other reasons, because you were given a body. So you got to go ahead and do it the right way. Rechaim Kanievsky was once walking with the Chazon Ish. They were walking somewhere outside of Bnei Brak. I know it didn't say where. Rechaim Kanievsky was walking with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish said to him, is there anyone around? Do you see anyone? Rechaim said, no. Chazon Ish broke out into a run. He was over 6 years old at the time. Broke out into a run. Started running. Chaim Kanievsky said, I couldn't catch up to him. Chaim is a bigger guy. It's not, the Chazon Ish was a little smaller, so it's not that much of a pella. But the Chazon Ish was running, and when he caught up to him, he finally caught up to the Chazon Ish. He said to the Chazon Ish, he said, what was that? And he said, my doctor told me I'm supposed to run. I don't run very often. But when I can, whenever I can, I try to do as much as I can because I should watch over for myself as much as you possibly can.
So who said the story over
there? It's told over by Rechaim. Rechaim told over the story. Yeah, it's in the Derech Sicha, the Sefer Derech Sicha. Chavetz Chaim says, it's funny. Why not say v'nishmartem ma'od l'gufchem? Isn't the word weird, l'nafsho seichem? Now, granted, if you go into all the mikubalim, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, nefesh is the closest to a goof. I understand that. But still, v'nishmartem l'nafsho seichem, you got to watch out for your soul is not the right word. It's really v'nishmartem ma'od l'gufchem. You got to watch out for your goof. So why does it say the word nafsho seichem? So what's pshat? What's pshat? What does that mean for your soul? What are you trying to do for your soul?
The purpose is not for your body, it's for your soul.
There you go. Here's the pshat. Because when you talk about shmir tzanefesh, you got to know the following. When a person exercises, when they eat, when they drink, when they work out, when they go do whatever they're supposed to do, you got to be very careful that you're not going to affect your soul. That you're doing it not just for your body, but your nefesh gets something out of it. And when you're eating something, it's not just because I want my body to get healthy. It's because your nefesh needs your body to be healthy for it to work. Don't look at your body as anything but as a wagon driver would look at his horse and wagon. That's what your body is. It's the ability for you to make parnasa. The ability for you to be able to live. The ability for you to have things in this world. But it's no more than that. The ikkar is the nefesh. The ikkar is the neshama of a person. The goof is just the way for my neshama to be able to be inside this world. So before you do anything, whatever exercise I'm doing, whatever food I eat, whatever drink I'm drinking, I say to myself, what am I doing this for? That's what the Chofetz Chaim tells people to do. Make sure you know, why am I doing this? What am I doing it for? Is it for the right reason or for a bad reason? The Chofetz Chaim, it's so funny. When I